Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Today, who can give me 15 minutes? Let me see your hands if you give me 15 minutes. All right, 15, 30, 45. No, I'm just messing with you, man. That's an old one. Come on. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to read some verses, and I'm going to preach a message to you just very, very quickly. Called Thank God It's Christmas. Thank God It's Christmas. You know, there's a song that is quite popular. Thank God It's Christmas. I'm not going to sing it, but I want to tell you why we should thank God It's Christmas. But first of all, I want to pray. Help me to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you today that we can gather together still in this environment, in ways, under restrictions and all the rest of it. But yet still your church can gather just as you said. Lord, we're grateful for that. Lord, we trust, Holy Spirit, that you will be with us. And that, my God, that for the best that you can do for us, to keep us safe, to keep us healthy, to keep us, Lord God, in a place of freedom, that you would be with us. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Savior, the King of the universe, Lord, would be glorified at this time. Lord, bless us today and open our hearts and our minds to the word and then to the nativity that the children are going to bring. And we give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2, going to be reading from verse 8. It says, that night, this is the night that Jesus was born. And if you go back to last week's message, you'll find out when that was. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. Don't forget, they were the experts in recognizing lambs. You will recognize him because you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. Imagine it. This glorious, shining, celestial being, all of a sudden surrounded by the hosts of heaven. The armies of heaven, praise God, said, glory to God in the highest heaven. And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased with me. Because then we got all that backing us up. And then he said this. He said, when the angels have returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about, which is very wise of them. They hurried to the village. They found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. That's the story of what happened on the night that Jesus was born. He was there, the angels came, the shepherds were told to go and look for him because they were the experts at examining the lambs to see if they were worthy of becoming sacrifices. The story all weaves into that. But Christmas, really, if we look at it today, is all about connection. That's what this Christmas season is all about connection. It's time for people to connect with the ones they love. And we do that through spending time with each other and also spending money on each other sometimes, right? And sometimes people get that twisted. They'd rather spend money than spend time. But I want to let you know that even when you haven't got any money, you can still spend the most valuable thing that you have, time with someone. You might not be able to get to them physically. Last year, it was lockdown. There was no Christmas. It was very difficult. this year. You can feel the Grinch trying to creep up on Christmas. How many of you know we can still spend time with people? On the phone, on Zoom, whatever it is, if you can't spend time in person. But spending time is probably the most valuable thing that you can give to someone. We eat together. As Pastor Kevin kept reminding us. And we give gifts to each other. Because Christmas really is about love. And love is about giving. Love gives. It gives of itself. It takes risks with itself. Some of you know, to give of yourself is a risk. And one of the reasons why people don't give of themselves is because of the risk of someone else finding out who they really are. But some of you know, when love is true, the risk is worth doing. It's worth taking. I remember when I first got married. Before we got married, I said to my wife, to be, I said, you know what? Before you marry me, understand I've got issues. And I proceeded to list about 20 different issues that I found with myself. Everything from the fact that I didn't have any earlobes. I thought I had a big nose. Come on, somebody. How many of you got some little issues that you're afraid that people will find out? Right? I don't really look like this outside of Spanx. Come on, somebody. Right? But when you love, you risk to give. That's what Christmas is about. It's about giving. And it's also about faith. Because you have to have faith in people. And you have to have faith in the God of all creation. But that's not something we should just do on one day. So don't be limited. Sometimes people get all twisted about, I've got to do this for Christmas Day and my Christmas will be ruined if I can't do this in this certain way. And then sometimes people's Christmas is ruined because they don't get to do this on this day. They have to work a shift on Christmas Day. We have loads of people in our congregation, in our church community that work for the NHS. You remember we used to do that last year? And then it stopped. And then everyone started complaining about their GPs and about hospital waiting lists. What happened to the people? We have a lot of people that might have to work on Christmas Day. But Christmas Day is not just the only day when you should be loving and giving. Are you with me? It is a nice day to do that, but Christmas, it's a time for parents to pour out their love on their children and their children to feel and know that security that they're loved. It's time for friends to be friendly. It's time for enemies to stop being enemies, at least for a while. Even in World War I, Germany and Britain in the trenches over in France and Belgium even had a truce on Christmas Day. And play football against each other. And England lost on penalties. Praise the Lord. Not the last Euros though. Hallelujah. But that's the sort of picture that we have in mind when we think of this season, man. Isn't it right? You think of all that perfect stuff and perfect Christmas. And you see it on TV and you watch the gooey American movies and the gooey Christmas movies. And we get all nostalgic, right? We think about all that stuff. Because really and truly, we want this to be a season of making good memories. How many of you know sometimes all that connection that we want is broken? Sometimes it don't work out like that. Sometimes life can chew you up. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it just does not work out that way. Sometimes families get broken. Sometimes money is tight. Hello? Sometimes the memories that we've had of Christmases past are not that good. I have some horrible memories of Christmas. Being arrested. Oh, no one else in Victory Outreach has ever been arrested. On Christmas. Locked up on Christmas. Christmas Eve, you're getting arrested, you're in handcuffs. What? Huh? Been on drugs at Christmas. Wondering if you're going to be out of score. Did the dealers to shut up shop on Christmas Day? Some of them do, the rich ones, but the other ones, they don't shut up shop on any day. Being separated from family and friends. And then sometimes, man, I remember Christmases where I felt that I had nothing to give. And I felt ashamed of that. So some memories are sometimes not good of Christmas. And I came to the understanding back then that really Christmas and all of the stuff that we look at is just a big fantasy. This whole big fantasy. But that we all buy into it, don't we? We all chase after it. But really, I came to the understanding that Christmas and all of this time is really a traditional holiday, but it's not necessarily a Christian one. But then I got saved. Then Jesus came into my life. Then I started to understand a little bit more about what Christmas was all about. And all of the tradition is one part of it. But there is a reason for this season. And the reason is beautiful and it's really amazing. And it's one that we can recognize if we look into it. Because this season is one that can be celebrated by everyone. And this is the reason, because it shows us that all the things that we want, all the love, all the giving, all of the connection, all of the family stuff, the memories, all of this stuff can actually be celebrated and become a reality when you understand that God cares about us so much that he actually sent his son, Yeshua, who we call in English Jesus, into our world as a baby. So that everyone in this world, whether their connection was broken, whether they were broken, their families were broken, their lives were broken, whether they were rich or poor, whether they had everything or nothing, so that they could be reconnected to the Creator God. That's what it's all about, really. And when Jesus was born as a baby, he was born into a world that had become mostly disconnected from his creator and therefore from his purpose. And what's the alternative? The alternative is that we run around doing our own thing. And how many of you know that's what's being portrayed in the world around us? That's what people do. And then all bets are off. Anything goes. Everything's subjective and there's nothing that we can anchor ourselves upon. Because we're disconnected and we're floating. I remember I used to have a nightmare once when I was a kid. I watched a film about someone in space. And this guy got out of his spaceship and he was on this long line that attached him to his spaceship. And something happened and the line got cut and he just started floating away into space. And I remember having a nightmare. Imagine that. Imagine floating away from your ship and seeing it just fade into the distance and you're just floating off into space and there's no one else there and you're all on your own. I was horrified. I had horrors about that for ages. That feeling of being disconnected and floating away and no one knowing and no one caring. But that's why Jesus came. That's why God gave this gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What gift! And because people are disconnected from their Creator, that causes disconnectedness in their lives. See, the Creator God of the universe, who identified himself throughout the Bible to different peoples at different times as Yahweh, the God of all gods, originally created humanity for two things. Very simple, two things. Firstly, he created us to know him for who he is and to treat him accordingly. To know him for who he is. He is the great God, the great creator, the God of the universe. He is the one who is like no other. He is species unique. There is no one else who is like him. And we are to know him. What an amazing thing that us can get to know the creator of the universe, that he wants to know us. That's the first thing, that we should know him and we should treat him accordingly. And that's what we mean by worship. When we say come, let's worship, it means just really get to know God for who he is and treat him in the way that he deserves. And then the second thing, the reason why we created, the second reason is to represent him in this world by taking care of it and by taking care of each other. And how many of you know that's not really the view of the world as it is right now? People don't worship him, they don't know him, they don't care about him, and then they don't take care of the world. I mean, right now, I thought, you know, for a while at least, I thought the coronavirus was gone and it had been melted through global warming. Because all the news went from coronavirus to global warming. But now, all of a sudden, maybe they've sorted it, I don't know, maybe they're trying to work some stuff out and it's come back. I don't know. But it just goes to show that people don't take care of the world and then don't take care of each other. And when those two things don't happen, this spiritual virus that is more powerful than any variant out there of the pandemic, a spiritual virus called sin, it then infects everyone and everything. And that's what's caused the real spiritual social distancing to happen in people's lives and around the world. Nations fighting against nation. People fighting against people. People having arguments and splitting up. The thing is this. This pandemic is nothing new. It's just a natural version of what happens spiritually. Wherever people put themselves first, right? Before other people, before God and other people, then madness happens. And this selfishness, if we can only deal with our selfishness, then a lot of the problems in the world will be dealt with. How many of you know it's difficult to say no to yourself, right? And Christmas, you're going to struggle with this because you're going to go to the fridge one evening in Christmas and there are going to be, on the way to the fridge, which is like an evil alien environment. You should look at it like that. I don't need to go to the fridge. Whenever you go to the fridge, you know the fridge is not your friend. But on the way to the fridge, you're going to remember what Pastor Kevin was speaking about, and you're going to go through past boxes of biscuits. You're going to go through bowls of crisps. You're going to go past those chocolates, and they will speak to you in your own language. They will speak to you and you will listen to their voice and yourself, and you will say yourself, your good self, your healthy self will whisper to you, don't do it. You'll regret it. You'll regret it next year because it sticks to your hips. Moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. It's whispering to you. But your other self, your greedy, selfish self is going to be shouting, do it. Do it. It tastes so good. Do it. Eat it. Drink it. Do it. Some of you are going to remember that. You're going to remember this voice. Do it. Shouting at you, screaming at you aggressively. Just do it. And what you have to remember is, listen to the whisper. Just not the one that's just not the one that's made of chocolate. Not that whisper. Don't listen to that one. Right? Selfishness is such a problem. But if we could end selfishness, we'd see everything change. We'd see the stupid arguments that destroy friendships and relationships stop happening. Because it's stupid arguments mostly. Whenever my wife argues with me, it's over something stupid. Right? It's never me. We see the self-destruction that comes from drugs and drink and gambling and violence end because it all comes from selfishness. Abuse would end. Addiction would be broken. Hopelessness would turn around and become hope. And families and friends could be reconciled. Jesus came to that manger as an innocent baby, not for a great celebration on one day of the year. He came for everyone who is suffering. That is why Jesus came. And the birth of Jesus was to bring a message of good news. This good news declared that the King of the universe had come and he would defeat all of his and all of ours and all of your enemies. He would bring peace and the promise of forgiveness. And these gifts are free to everyone who would just receive them. And all he wants for that is for us to just get behind him in what he's doing, to get on his side, to believe that he defeated even death, to be part of his team, to trust in him that he was born in the way that the Bible says, in a place where lambs were born, because his choice was to give his own life as a sacrifice in place of you and me. And just to believe that his life makes a difference. And then to believe that he defeated even death. When he did what no human or angel has ever done before, and that is to rise again from the grave to live forever. That's the message the angels were saying to the shepherds. That's part of the message you're going to hear when our children come on and present the nativity to you. There are three things that you can do. You can admit, number one, admit that you're disconnected from God, because everything starts from that point. The second thing you can do is believe that Jesus is real and he's the only one who can reconnect you to God and to others. That's how it all begins. That's how true life begins. That's how the real celebration begins. And the third thing then is to confess or communicate to God that you want and need his forgiveness so that you can have his peace and his presence in your life from this day and forevermore. And that's how your life starts to become everything it was created to be. So I want us to pray right now, because the kids are raring to go. And when they come in, I want you to shout. I want you to clap. I want you to give them a round of applause and really encourage them. But right now, let's all stand to our feet and let's pray right now. Wouldn't it be great if at this season your life shifted and changed? Wouldn't it be great if you could be reconnected? Wouldn't it be great if this season wasn't like the ones before, but it was like one no other you've ever had? A season where you can say, Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm on his side. I'm on the winning side. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I just pray right now that you would bless us with your presence, that you would be with us, oh God. Father, I pray that every heart would be touched and opened, Lord God, that we would receive the good news of your gospel, that we would know, Master, that you are the Savior, that you are the Lord of all creation, that we would give our hearts and lives to you, that there would be good news this year, and the celebration would not just be a celebration here on earth, of us celebrating Christmas, but there would be a celebration in heaven for one person who says, you know what? I need you. God, I need you. Thank you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website vomanchester.org.uk for more information.